5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello. Hello.
This is the Foul Mouth Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Foul Mouth Podcast. We're here. We're super excited. We got Brooks Tinsley live on the podcast tonight. He's the owner of Lost Break, owner of Light Boots. You can find him on YouTube. You find him on Instagram. Me and Jake watch all of his stuff. They're duck killers, but they're also just down-to-earth good guys. But super pumped about it. So what else we got going on tonight?
Oh, man, we are sitting in the shop. We're currently trying to get a duck cave built out at your new house.
The podcast studio has not been, you know, set in stone on the...
Yeah, we've had to move around a little bit. You know, got to be mobile. But, no, looking forward to chatting with Brooks. It's going to be real interesting. I mean, they're guys on the Mississippi River. Just like us, they're dealing with the same conditions, same drought as us. If y'all want to go check out Denver's Instagram page, he posted a video of the Mississippi River in Memphis, and you can kind of see just like what the actual water levels look like around here. It's pretty crazy.
Bad is what the water levels look
like. Bad is how it looks. Yeah. But
especially considering we are 18 days as we sit right here for getting out and shooting birds. So like, I know it's not on the river. We're not going to be out there for hopefully sometime this season, but maybe not for a while, or maybe not till next year, but we're here. It's getting close. So it's now almost crunch time. So
yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of deer hunters that get made out of this year. I think there's going to be a lot of guys that hit this drought, and they're going to be just kind of, you know, at a loss for what to do and stuff. My dad told me today, or he and I were talking, and I said, man, he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm on my phone trying to find a place for us to go hunt this year. And he goes, are you even going to get to go hunt this year? And I told him, I said, I have the advantage because I don't have kids and I'm not married, but I told him, I said, I'll go find ducks somewhere and kill them. I said, I don't care if I got to stay in Oklahoma all season, if I got to stay in Texas all season, if I got to stay in Louisiana all season, if I got to go to Kansas, if I got to go to Iowa, wherever I got to go, I'm going to go find birds and kill them because I'm not giving up, but I'm also in a position to do that. Right.
Well, hey, you'll be glad to know. Caitlin asked me, she said, okay. She was texting me. She's like, okay, I need to know, what are the dates you're going to be going for duck season?
All of them. 60 days.
I said November 11th through January 29th.
I've already had Emily ask me about doing a trip, going to see her sister and stuff, and she lives in Texas, and she goes, well, what do you think about this week? And it was in like like December, and I was like, I don't know. And she goes, what do you mean you don't know? And I go, when will you know? And I go, we'll see how much it rains up north, and then we'll go from there. We'll see what the ducks are doing. I was like, if there's no ducks, and then like, I mean,
well, that's it's what a Caitlin bigger was like, possibility. No, I'm serious. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, so it's those.
You get me the rest of the year. Off. There's 305 days of the year when duck season's not going on in Arkansas,
we're just
right?
Taking 60.
I'm taking 60 days out of the year. That's less than a fifth.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's not that, you know, it's not that much. So
yeah, I mean, it's not a ton. Yeah. But really looking forward to talking to Brooks.
Let's get him. Let's fast forward to the best part of the show. Biggest guest yet on the Foul Mouth Podcast. Oh. Let's give him a call and welcome Brooks Tinsley.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Brooks, Denver Hall, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Man, doing pretty good. We appreciate you joining in here with us tonight.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
For sure. You're on here with Jake and Denver here at the Foul Mouth Podcast, so we're coming live again tonight.
Yeah. But how's it going, man?
Nice. Good. Well, it's creeping up on duck season.
Yeah, I know. Is it getting pretty busy? You know, we're here. I mean, heck, we're what, 3-4 weeks out now? I mean, y'all slammed over there trying to get everything ready.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to get as much ready as we can. You know, the Mississippi River ain't looking very good, but we've got the stage set, so to speak.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I know it's a lot of work. Well, hey, I know me and Jake, we follow Lost Break, and we follow you on Instagram, and we watch YouTube videos and keep up with everything. But for people who don't know, Could you give like a little introduction to who Brooks Tinsley is and what Lost Break is?
Yeah, so I'm from West Point, Mississippi, home of Mossy Oak. Kind of came from, I guess I'll be 40 in a month.
Yeah, we were guessing your age, and I was thinking, he's late 30s. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So I went on my first duck hunt when I was 16 in Arkansas, and it's been, you know, an obsession to say the least since then. Really started in the Mississippi Delta hunting public land, and then kind of moved over into the Arkansas woods. And once I saw my first mallard, you know, slap a tree limb with his wings, it's like it's in my blood, and it's like a part of who I am. So did the public stuff in Arkansas. I guess the first year we went over there would have been 2007. So did that for about 11 years, hunted, you know, nothing but public land. Yeah. I think I averaged, you know, close to 50 days a season. So, you know, everyone's like, I'm a diehard duck hunter, and I'm kind of right there with them. You know, there's levels of intensity, and I would say my intensity level is at the top of the spectrum. you know, they started limiting out-of-staters, and I kind of saw the writing on the wall, and me and a buddy had been looking for some private land, you know, to kind of hedge our bets, so to speak, on, you know, duck hunting, and stumbled upon an island in the Mississippi River. The cool thing about an island, from a price standpoint, is it's tough to get there, obviously, so the price point, you know, per acre was a lot less than if this chunk of land was on, you know, the mainland.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, if you're a duck hunter, you can't get more in the heart of the flyway than smack dab in the middle of the Mississippi River. So it seemed to make sense from that standpoint.
Yeah, how long ago did y'all buy Lost Break?
2018, November 2018. So coming up on 4 years, and this will be the start of our fifth duck season.
Okay.
So that first duck season that y'all had it would have been 2019, which was a great high water year.
2018, 2019, the river got up for the season. Like we had, the island had 500 acres of flooded water in September. Mm-hmm. And then it stayed high throughout the year. So it was like, you know, so we bought it and you think, man, this has the potential to be good. And then seeing it at its best, it was like, wow. Like literally, you know, if you're a duck hunter and you've had hunts like that and all of a sudden you're like, we just won. We just hit it big. This is like, this is unreal. I mean, the amount of ducks and, I mean, if we were shooting 20 ducks, it was like, damn, you know, slow day today. And, you know, if you could, you know, 2 years ago when we had a low river day, we were just begging for a 20 duck day. Mm-hmm. So it, that river, you know, when it's up, the ducks are there. And when it's not up, the ducks are not really there.
No, that's the truth. Our first year hunting the Mississippi River was 2019. And we didn't really know how grateful we were that year with the water levels. And we thought, you know, we're going off the Memphis gauge. We thought 30 feet was like the norm, you know, and now we're like, man, what, you know, like that's 50 feet from here, you know? So we didn't know how good we have it. And that kind of leads us into one of the things we've been talking about lately and been really talking about on the podcast is the drought that we're in. And, you know, like I told you, we're big Mississippi River hunters, and we talk about the effects of the water level, and people think it's just affecting us and public land guys, but as you know, it's bigger than that. You know, like if the river's not full, the ducks aren't, you know, it's an area that they're frequently often. What do you see? How do you see that being affect with y'all's island and just duck hunting in general this year with the water?
So, you know, water, abundant water gives, you know, is obviously abundant habitat. And talking to, you know, hunters from Mississippi, where I'm from, about, you know, the landscape of duck hunting and why ducks do what they do. You know, when the rivers are out in Arkansas, black, white, cache, including the Mississippi River, when all those river systems are up mm-hmm. and out of their banks, people can't comprehend the amount of duck habitat
yep.
in the state. And it's probably, when those river systems are out, there's 50 to 100 times more duck habitat in the state of Arkansas mm-hmm. than the state of Mississippi. But when it's down, there's no habitat, but you still have the same amount of hunters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, those low water years are tough. And it's the same thing with the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
When that Mississippi River's up, it creates hundreds of thousands of acres
mm-hmm.
of duck habitat. And a lot of it, you know, is private and doesn't get hunted much. And so these ducks have a place to rest, and they just use that Mississippi River so much.
Mm-hmm.
But then when that habitat's not there, they're really only coming to the river when it's really cold.
Yep.
Or possibly, you know, to hit a sandbar and get some, you know, sand for their craw.
Sure.
So, you know, they're just not using that river system like you would think they might be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're doing in a year like this when there is a lack of water? I mean, we see, like, talking to a lot of guys, do you think it condenses the duck population in the areas that do have water, or do you think they're flying over us in general, or just not coming down? Like, what do you think they're doing when there's so, you know, it's 50 times less, like what you're saying, if all those rivers aren't out?
Yeah.
Is it just, well, that much more dense in the, you know, mm-hmm. the White Oaks types place and, you know, the reservations?
Yep. This is where, you know, I've heard it all. You know, you can imagine hunting so much public land
yeah.
and people bitching about what's happening, what in this rest area and this piece of private land. This is where, when you've got rest area, mm-hmm. you're gonna have ducks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time when you're hunting around rest areas, they can keep your season afloat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, you know, can complain all they want about so and so, they got all this flooded corn, it's holding all these ducks. Well, it's without that, those type places, the ducks would absolutely leave.
Yep.
So here on a low water year, here's what you have. If the ground isn't manipulated with water, like manually flooded,
right?
Then there's no water. And if you're a duck hunter and you're flooding up your rice field to duck hunt, what are you going to be doing opening morning? You're going to be duck hunting that flooded rice field. And what is every other flooded impoundment going to happen?
Yeah.
They're going to get hunted. So the ducks have got to have a place to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where your refuges and your big private land places that have, you know, refuges on them play such an important role. Big bodies of water are important. The Mississippi River has the potential to be good, you know, especially when it gets cold. Because if you do get that super cold weather, all the flooded stuff should lock up, and the only open water should, in theory, be the river.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the ducks are still going to come down here. You're going to have, if ducks can't find, you know, food and place to rest, they're going to go somewhere else, whether that's south, east, west, back north. I think that's all kind of debatable,
yeah.
You know.
No, I agree. And to your point, like, we were talking with Rusty Creasy at the who manages Coca-Cola Woods at the Delta mm-hmm. Expo, and he was saying yep. exactly that point with the rice fields. He said, man, everybody has a rice field. He said, it's just a resting spot for everybody. When, you know, when you're not hunting there, the ducks are resting in your rice field so somebody can shoot them at a different field. You know,
yep.
like, that was kind of yep. the thing. Like, those guys, birds are just hanging out there. And yeah, we see. I mean, we know. We were watching a few of the Lost Break videos before this and just really, you know, licking our chops at, like, what we wish the water was doing. Like, you know, we're hunting the public spots on the river hard to
yep.
find. But were you yep. hunting the river at all before y'all got this island? Had you ever hunted out there?
I'd only hunted the river one time in 20-some-odd years, the actual river, before we had the island. And it was in epic hunt,
yeah.
like early to mid-January, low 20s, and I was in college at the time, and the guy's dad that we were going with, he was supposed to get us up, and, you know, in typical fashion, we probably stayed up too late and had too many beers. But I never missed, like, I don't miss a morning duck hunting.
Yeah.
But Mr. Tom was like, I'm going to get y'all up. You know, I asked him, what time do we need to be up? Don't worry about it, I'll get y'all up. And I woke up, and it was like breaking day, and I freaked out. And he's out there cooking breakfast. I was like, Mr. Tom, what's going on? Are we not going? He's like, oh, we don't need to get out there till 8, 9 o'clock, no way. He said, we'll be all right. We're going to cook a little breakfast. And we rode around, got up some ducks, threw out some decoys, and shot them. And it was just like, wow, this is pretty cool. But, you know, he grew up, he's in Clarksdale, and he grew up on the river. And he was, that day, he was like, you just don't go on this river, you know, if the conditions aren't right. You don't want to be out here in the dark unless you know this river. Don't get out on it on the dark.
Yeah. We've got a story that I usually tell when we were at one of the boat ramps down there, and these guys were asking me about where some dikes were at about 4:45 in the morning one morning. I said, boys, if y'all don't know where that dike is, I was like, you don't need to go out there until it's light.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to go ahead and leave and lock down that spot, but you stay right here until the sun comes up, because it is. I know I was talking to Harrison at the event, and he was talking about that, because y'all have to pass a few dikes to go. Or y'all try to not get on the river at dark. Is that what he said?
Yeah, we try.
That's what you tell your wives, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily, between you know, the boat ramp and our island, we don't have any obstacles to speak of. But yeah, we try to have, you know, even when we plan, we tell people get there, you know, normally in the wintertime it's getting dark at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Our pickup time is at 3 o'clock. You know, hey, you need to be here at 3 o'clock. We're gonna give ourselves plenty of time to get onto the island when it's daylight. So, you know, you just gotta, like you said, you can't, I've shown up a bunch of places sight unseen in the dark and went in on a boat, but not the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just too
do not do it.
Too much going on, and the barges, you know, they don't run with, people don't understand, they don't, I tell people all the time, yeah, the barges don't have lights on them. Like, they got one spotlight on the back and a couple of yellow lights, but you can't tell the distance on how far or close that thing is.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's scary for taking people out there. But we went out there last year. Our infamous story is we were having a phenomenal hunt, you know, right when the rivers were rising, and it was just starting to break onto islands and stuff. And our lower unit went out about 5 miles from the boat ramp, and we wouldn't call anybody to come get us because we didn't want to give away our spot. So we paddled back, and it was the cameraman's first time, and he's never going back.
Said he wasn't going hunting again, with at least not duck hunting.
Yeah. But, hey, I don't know if you saw on Instagram, but I was posting a bunch of stuff. Like, Memphis is dry as a bone, which I'm sure it is in y'all's area, too. Our, like, harbor where we keep the boats, we don't keep our boat there, but, like, bigger boats that are harbored in the Wolf River in Memphis, that is just a little harbor of the Mississippi River, dry as a bone. The boats are literally sitting on the ground. The docks are bottomed out. You can't even get to the boat ramp is, like, 15, 20 feet past the concrete. Can y'all even get y'all's boats in the water right now?
Yeah, I guess we're pretty lucky. That boat ramp that we put in at on the river, it's like you can barely put in there, but it's crazy how low it is. And like to have seen it at its highest, you know, and then to see it at its lowest, it's really just like words and pictures can't do it justice.
Yeah, no, it's two different rivers almost completely. I mean, it's. Yeah. I was trying to tell people, it's like, look, it's like 40 feet lower than where it is what we were hunting like a year ago. You know, like it's literally a total, you know, it's not even. How far is, I know y'all pump and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Is y'all's pump able to reach to the water level? Do y'all have
We will not, no. So, of course, you know, and we're saying when we put the big pump in last year, we were looking at all the historic levels and what to do and where to set it at what, but you know, we would have never expected it to be like in the negative
now.
It's most of your low water records are set in August, and you know, maybe into September some of the records, but like for it to be almost November and at or near a low water record, it's, you know, it's pretty unprecedented. So it's, you know, we're kind of like everybody else. We don't know what it's going to do. I know y'all are studying river levels. Most duck hunters that hunt on a river system are doing that. And I look a lot at these long-range precipitation forecasts that will show jet streams and what's going to do what, and I've gotten pretty good. My buddies joke, like, you ought to just put out these river forecasts because they're never right, and you always seem to be hit the nail on the head. But I thought this last rain event that went through, I was expecting to see, you know, a 7 to 8 foot jump based on the amount of rain that fell in northern Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And it's like flatlined. Mm-hmm. It's nothing is predicted to happen, which is like I never saw that coming. And like I said, it's unprecedented times. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. It ain't looking good. I know that.
I bet. I know that for sure. You probably kind of feel the same way that we do. You've got all this knowledge of the Mississippi River, and now that it's getting historic lows and stuff, people are coming out of the woodwork and like, oh, well, I learned about this online and stuff. And I'm like, well, now my knowledge is like irrelevant. Like, I'm no longer the smartest guy in the room. Yeah. You know, I really liked being the guy that everybody had to ask the questions to.
Because we're the same way. We have the premium, you know, river level accounts. So we can read the gauges and see the 15-day forecast. But I'm the same way. I've been saying for a while, I was like, guys, like, we got to figure something else out. Like, we're not going to have water on the Mississippi. Like, we've seen it come up, you know, an inch an hour or, you know, a half inch an hour, like when it's flooding during the flood season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, we would need – I don't even know, like, how much rain would be required because how dry this whole side of the country is. You know, like, we drove through Arkansas yesterday and fields that – I mean, even just your drainage ditches and creeks dry as a bone, you know.
Yeah.
Grass growing through ditches, you know, it's like, just like you said, it's just not normal at all, obviously, since it's this low. But that kind of leads us into, I was talking with somebody else about how much work goes into being a duck hunter in general, and really seems like even owning your own place like y'all guys do, it's even more work than just a normal public land hunter. I mean, y'all, you know, like you said, there's just so much work that seems to go into it. Like, how much work really is involved in managing your own duck hunt club?
Man, I've said them a bunch. Being, you know, hunting public woods and doing all this stuff. Man, it'd be nice. Nice to have private land. You know, all these private land guys got it all nice and all this stuff. And, like, maybe there are some places that you don't have to do a whole bunch of work, but ours couldn't be further from that. Like, it's a 365 deal for us. And, you know, thinking back to hunting public land, you know, you might scout, you know, a week or two before the season. And what is that? You know, you drive, put your boat in the water, drive around, walk around, maybe looking for new spots, marking spots in your GPS. I mean, like for us, it's all summer working on water, working on ditches, working on control structures, working on equipment that's broken down. And it's so much harder than what I've done. I mean, literally, you just show up. Most of the private land or the public land that you hunt is managed by the state or the federal government, and you can't do any management. Mm-hmm. You know, all you can do up is show up and scout. So, besides getting up early and maybe dealing with some people that don't know what they're doing, like, public duck hunting doesn't hold a candle, at least to what we're doing.
Sure,
literally doesn't, you know. So,
because it stuck to me what you said. Like, there's not a piece of anything that goes on that property that y'all don't hand load onto a barge to get it out there, right?
Yeah, it's an ordeal. It is an ordeal. Nothing comes easy on an island.
One of my favorite videos I saw that y'all put out was of y'all moving, I guess, a geo tracker or some kind of car on that barge, and it was like kind of getting dark, and I was like, buddy, any amount of money that you could have gotten me to stand on that barge and do that, I was like, that is another level of moving things. Like we've talked about taking the light bar off my boat and running a four wheeler out to one of the sandbars before, you know, when it's low level like this, but I was like, man, that is another level moving a car out there and stuff. And so y'all've got, well, I know y'all at one point had a tractor out there, and I guess it's still out there, because didn't y'all sink one out there or something?
Yeah, we sunk one. We had a pumping operation go bad and had a 1066 International slip over into the river, and man, we've we've sunk stuff. We sunk a truck last year that's still in duck hole.
Ought to be dry enough to get it out now, though, right?
Yeah, we actually pulled it up out of there a couple weeks ago. I was like, man, it's got some really good tires on it. Yeah. We need to get those tires off of it. But I mean, it's literally always something. And like the planning that goes into it, like you got to have all your ducks in a row, because if you don't have it, it's, you know, a 3-hour round trip to town and back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what
I can't go to the store 15 minutes away.
Unless y'all don't want to give it away, like, do y'all come in from the Arkansas side or where, like, where so is it kind of situated?
The island is technically in Missouri. Oops. But it's on the Tennessee side of the river.
Okay.
So we're we're in the boot heel of Missouri.
All right.
Yeah.
How far is it from your house, like, from to get to the boat ramp?
You could pretty much call it 4 hours.
Really?
Right at 4 hours.
So how many times a year do you think, outside of duck season, are you going? Is it like every other weekend thing?
Too much. I mean, like, but it's just like, oh, there's always something to do.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah, probably you could probably say every other weekend I'm up there. That'd probably be about accurate.
So how invested, the real question is, how invested is your wife? Because, I mean, most realistic thing for, or the hardest thing for me to get over would be convincing my wife that our weekend entertainment is going to the duck club on the island, you know?
Yeah, you know, luckily, so we built a camp on it, finished it 2 years ago, and that has been a huge, huge blessing just to be able to take my wife and daughter up there. So we're off grid. We had a well that collapsed, which is like the dude that drilled it said that's never happened. So now we're catching rainwater off the roof into a big 2,500 gallon cistern. Yep. So that's our water. And then we're running off generator. So we're off grid, and it's a great place to just go and unwind. The cell service sucks, which is good.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But my wife, every time we go to leave, she was like, I just want to stay up here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so that's been really cool.
How many days do you still think you're getting 50 days in of hunting this? Like,
I think I did like 41 or 42 really? This year.
So people ask us, and I'm sure they ask you the same thing. People say, do y'all even work? Like, what do you do to go hunt 40 days? You know, we're the same way. We both own our own business. I mean, what do you do to get that type of freedom?
Well, that, you know, so like it's been my deal since before I got out of college. So I knew that I wanted to do something that would allow me to have the freedom to duck hunt, because it's, you know, once it's in your blood, it's hard to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the insurance business and did the insurance for 10 years where I was like my own agent. So I was kind of like I was the boss.
Yeah,
I made all my sales and made sure, you know, I could go duck hunting. And most recently, I started my own company, Light Boots. And, you know, I haven't been through a duck season yet as the owner of this company. But hopefully, you know, I'll be able to go, you know, as much as I can, you know. So.
Yep. Go into Light Boots a little bit. We're definitely going to talk about it. I bought a pair at the Delta Expo. I'm a huge fan of them, because they are just extremely light. Every time somebody comes around, I'll take them off my foot to just go, hey, hold this boot just to see how light it is. You know?
I had to wait for the bigger sizes to come out.
But where did you come up with that idea?
Man, so, you know, obviously a big duck hunter, but turkeys is a passion of mine too. And it just seemed like every year around February, I was in the market for a new pair of boots, mainly because I just couldn't get a pair to last more than a year. And was just researching lightweight materials and how could I make a boot that would last and would do what I wanted it to do. And, you know, found a material that's similar to a croc. I know a lot of the people that listen are familiar.
we refer to them as the croc boots.
Yeah. I wish, you know, like on a national scale, I could use that in some marketing, because then people would be like, oh, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know, but so... You know, on the podcast, I can say they're a croc boot, but, you know, that's essentially what they are. It's a one-piece injection molded boot.
Yeah.
You look at it, and it just looks like a normal boot, but then when you hold it, you're like, holy crap, this is unreal. So,
Well, I'm surprised. I know I saw you say it on like a story or Instagram video or something, and I have people ask me too, like, is it insulated? And I saw you like comment on that, so I know people must ask you a lot all the time. But I kind of think it's ridiculous. Like, most mud boots aren't insulated, and it's you know, I'll tell you what, when I've been wearing them a lot during the summertime, my feet aren't hot, but I definitely like can feel that I'm like,
you can tell that they're insulated.
Yeah, you can tell that they're insulated. And like, I tried to wear them one, I don't know if you've tried wearing them barefooted, because I wear my Crocs barefooted all the time. That didn't work very well. My foot was like slipping around everywhere. It's like, okay, I gotta have socks
in the summertime. If you're sweating, it's, you know, it's a little slippery. But yeah, as far as the insulation goes, so Edward, the guy that films Lost Break, he's been a buddy of mine since long before the Lost Break deal. He was kind of in our core group, but he also filmed a show for Crash Landing Outdoors, really good show, some guys out in Oklahoma. Well, he had a pair of boots, you know, all last season, and he was out there filming a Crash Landing episode in single digits in Oklahoma, and had his boots on, and they were hunting dry fields because everything was froze up. And he had another camera guy there with him. And this other camera guy had worn his regular insulated boots one day, froze, feet froze. The next day he was like, I'm going to wear my waders. And his feet froze again. Well, Edward had to go home the third day of filming, and this guy was going to kind of finish up. And he was like, man, he's like, said something about, I need to do something about my boots. Like, I couldn't feel my feet. And Edward was like, well, just wear mine. He's like, my feet didn't get like that. Wear mine. And Edward drove home, and the guy called him when Edward was on his way home. And he was like, dude, can I keep these pair? He was like, this is the first day in 3 days that I've been able to feel my toes. So, you know, it's kind of like a different insulation than what people are used to. It's like you said, they'll breathe a little bit, but they're warmer than you can wrap your head around. So neoprene, which most duck hunters are familiar with, it insulates with the air that's inside the neoprene. That's how it insulates. Well, this material is similar to neoprene in that it's a foam, but the cells are a lot tighter and denser, but there's air in between each cell. And so air is your natural insulator, and so that's kind of how they stay warm.
It's locked in there. Jake saw a video on was it TikTok or
something? Let's talk about marketing for light boots a little bit. Today I saw a wonderful video on TikTok, and you know, I'm the old man on TikTok and stuff, but all my stuff's duck hunting on there. And so I saw a guy in a fighter jet, and he said, can your boots do this? And he just tilted that little stick forward, and a light boot just kind of rose up out of the cockpit. And then I went back to show it to Denver later, and it was gone. And I was like, TikTok must have flagged the video or something.
Well, my cousin's husband flies fighter jets, F-16 or something. I don't know, but he's a total BA. And I didn't know he was going to do it. And he sent me that video this morning. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Because the boot was doing zero gravity in the fighter jet, so it was literally floating around in the cockpit, and I was so fired up, and I was like, do you mind if I post this? And he was like, maybe just this, you know, this section of the clip. And I was like, all right. And so we posted it, and then he called me later this afternoon. He's like, man, I don't want to get in trouble. I get it. I don't want you to get in trouble either. But
it's too late. We've already seen it.
It's too late. It's already got 2 million views.
Yeah, we can take it down, but we remember it, though.
I'm flying around this expensive jet for the government and got a boot floating around in front of my face.
Well, that was my first thought was, I go, who let him bring that on there? Yeah. You know, like, nobody stopped him and was like, hey, man, like, you just, like, you know, you bringing a boot on there with you for no reason?
Yeah, I got a great idea.
And, they are sick, though. They're so light. Whenever we were at Delta Waterfowl, it's the first place that I got to see him, and Denver was talking to Harrison, and Denver just looked at me and threw one at me, and I kind of, you know, jumped back and stuff, and I was like, man, that it was wild to me. Could not believe what it felt like. I mean, it's insane, because I've been wearing neoprene boots my whole life, like muck boots and stuff.
Yeah, I really throw them to everybody, man.
Yeah.
How long until they come out in bottomland?
We're working on it. Hopefully by next turkey season. That's what we're shooting for.
Because y'all are all connected with – are you connected with Mossy Oak? Like, they sponsor? Yeah. I see it's presented.
Yeah, they're a sponsor. They're all good buddies of ours. And, So that hopefully we'll have them in the bottom land sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that'd be good. We'll be ready for those. I'll definitely get a second pair. But well, that leads us to our last thing we were talking about or wanted to talk to you about was public land. I know you have a big history in hunting public land. Like you said, you grew up doing that. That's what we do on the daily. Most of the people that listen to the podcast, they're all public land guys. A lot of us, because we can't afford to go buy a nice place. And so, like, we are hunting these places. What we always say, like, how we summarize it is what we could afford or what we can go hunt public is some of the best hunting really in the world, in our opinion. You know, some of the places we go and, like, we look and they think maybe one day we could afford something like that, but most likely we could afford like a rice field or something, you know?
But
we do also really love not just killing the ducks in the flooded timber, but searching for those new places and looking and knowing, hey, we don't know where we're going to hunt tomorrow. We got 100 options, or we may drive, you know, 6 hours this direction because we think they're over here. How does that compare? But like the success when we go out to, or the feeling when we go to hunt public, when it's competitive and, you know, you kind of feel like you won, you know, like I know it's not all about killing ducks, but like when you finally do have those really good days, how does that compare to, you know, the drive and the, you know, satisfaction feeling when you're doing it, how you're doing it? Because I know you've done both, you know, and we have some guys that have only done public.
Yep. You know, it's a different deal, you know, so I mean, like, I just thinking about, you know, the 4 a.m. go time or the butterflies you get in your stomach when you're rounding a corner hoping that nobody's going to be in a spot you're going to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can vividly, you know, I don't think those feelings will ever leave. And the feeling of accomplishment when you find a spot and do it and kill limited ducks that anybody else could go do, but you did it that day. Or, you know, I mean, like you said, some of the finest duck hunting in the world can be had on public land. You know, I've done it, you know, and I've seen groups that, you know, you mentioned Rusty Creasy. He's got, you know, arguably the best, you know, timber mallard hunting in the world.
Sure.
And you can have those moments in some places when the conditions are right on public land. You know, putting in the work and, there's obviously a sense of accomplishment for sure. But like, as far as the hunt goes, you know, like hunting's hunting, you know, ducks do the same, you know, stuff on private land as they do on public land. The big thing that you don't obviously have a lot of times is right as this group of a lifetime is about to do it and they're set up and they're coming in. You don't have somebody else shooting 200 yards away from you and blow them out of the hole. So, you know, when it comes to public land, there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so obviously that's a luxury that, you know, I don't miss that about public land at all. But I do miss the excitement of getting a spot, and that was it. You know, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't killing a bunch of ducks. It was getting the spot that we had wanted to get. You know, and like, how do we get there first? How do you think outside of the box to get to spots before other folks?
Yep.
You know, and that challenge of that, I miss a lot. But, you know, being able to take my wife and daughter to a spot and not have to worry about some yahoo coming in, running in, telling me this is their hole and getting in an argument, you know, I didn't feel comfortable doing that with my wife and little girl.
Yeah.
But now I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that, I totally get where you're coming from on that. It reminds me, we listened to one of the episodes on Rolling Thunder podcast, and he was mentioning, Spence Halford was talking about a time when he ran into you out there, I guess he knew he was, and he was yelling at his dog. I think his dog's name was Brooks, and he was yelling, yelling Brooks, and his dog ended up with you. You know, it's that kind of funny stuff that, like, I was just thinking in my head, I'm sure you have the same story I see on your YouTube video. It feels like y'all have 50 people crammed in that clubhouse sometimes in the morning. You know, like, that place looks full. I hope all those people show up for work days, you know.
It's kind of about the people that you meet along the way. All of my best friends are duck hunters.
Yeah.
All of them. You know, I've got a bunch of acquaintances, but all of my good friends are duck hunters. And a lot of them I met through duck hunting. And that's like the biggest takeaway that I see. And like, as public land hunters, we're doing a terrible job at policing ourselves, you know, doing what's right, even when nobody's watching, you know, and, you know, just kill people with kindness.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't do anybody good to be a jerk about anything. And look, I've encountered, so I'm averaging 50 days a year, and I hunted public land for 20 of those years. I've spent, you know, close to 1,000 mornings hunting public land. So I've had every encounter you can imagine, good, bad, and terrible, you know?
Yeah.
But I've also made a lot of friendships through duck hunting. And you're always going to, you know, come out good if you take the high road.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, I don't want, you know, when they lay me in the ground, I don't want people to be like, oh, that Brooks was a duck killer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that. That's not what I want people to say. I want to be like, man, that Brooks is a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good person and he'd always do whatever for me.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to say.
Yeah.
And if you take that mentality into every morning, if everybody took that mentality, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right in all aspects of life. I mean, that's why, like, we're such big fans of Billy Campbell and Dennis Loser, Dr. Duck and them, is that they talk about when they're in the public woods and they see somebody, they want to treat them like it's their son, you know, that's rolling up into that hole. And, like, you know, I'm totally with you on that, because I'm the same way. I got a one-year-old, and I'm wondering how old he needs to be before I can drag him into the public woods. And the same thing, I don't want to take him around some animosity or, you know, like, tension when you don't need it, like – You know, I think Billy Campbell posted on how the numbers of hunters is falling a little bit, and it's really bad for our sport, because we need the people for the state funding and for, you know, the attraction for people to still do what they do to bring the ducks around here. You know, it's like when so many hunters, I feel like, just have a bad attitude. I mean, maybe in all sports, I mean, we only focus on duck hunting, but, you know, we see it a lot. So it's good to have good guys like you and, you know, Billy Campbell and them, and being advocates of the sport and trying to get, you know, good sportsmen in here as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I got one last question for you, Brooks, right before we wrap up. And it's kind of a little bit more lighthearted question is when, so we hear all the time, I'm sure you have, you know, hunting the Mississippi River. No, people are always like, man, the craziest stuff happens on Mississippi River. Like, the old timers will always say something like, man, one time we were out there in a boat and this 50-foot log just shot up out of the water and landed right on the boat and stuff like that. You got, what's the craziest Mississippi River story that you've got, you know?
Man, like you've heard, I've heard those same stuff. I really think that's all BS.
Yeah,
I've spent days of worth of time out there, okay, like just days on the boat worth of time, and we've yet to see anything happen like that. So I was just curious if you'd seen anything crazy out there that you could lay any light to.
I mean, there's people that kayak down that thing, even when the river's up.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, what are y'all doing out there? But no, so I'm trying to think of stuff crazy that I've seen. And, you know, it's not really lighthearted, but it kind of goes back to that seriousness of it. We take a tritune back and forth from the island.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, unless one of those tunes was ruptured, it can't sink.
Yeah.
So, but we were going, this would have been in September. So it was warmer. We were going dove hunting on the mainland. So we were going back to the boat ramp to go meet some folks dove hunting. And a barge had rolled upriver. So your upriver barges throw your bigger wakes.
Yeah.
So your downriver barges are just steering. But there's a portion on the south tip of the island where the old river and the main channel meet. And it seems like those waves just stay there for a longer time. So this barge had been by, and I just kind of lackadaisical. But we hit a big wave, and a wave came over the bow of that pontoon. And y'all have probably seen videos of too many people on a pontoon. All of a sudden, they dive underwater, and then they pop back up. It wasn't that dramatic, but it felt that dramatic. I was like, holy crap.
When you're out there, everything is amplified 10 times what it actually is.
We're suction cup to the bottom of that boat, you know, but it's way worse in the wintertime, because you're like, okay, you fall out in the summertime and it's bright and sunny, like, I can survive. But when it's freezing, you're like, man, I'm going to freeze to death before I ever get to the side. much less. Oh, but we're the crazy guys. We're out there at dark a lot because we are trying to go hunt our spots, like as the sun's rising, and you know, shoot those early birds. But it's the same thing, like seeing the, you know, the barges at night and all that kind of stuff. It's just 10 times the amount, because it's so dark out there. People don't even understand that the river and the sky just soaks up any light bar or spotlight you could possibly have, unless you have a barge light. You know, you can't, your light does nothing, you know, it really almost does negative the effect.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
So. Well, we appreciate you coming on here, man. It's been a pleasure. Ton of fun.
Yeah, just everybody, just go follow Lost Break. Check their stuff out. I mean, y'all gonna be putting out, y'all doing that series again this year. Y'all gonna be doing more footage.
And we did a teal hunt. I say they did a teal hunt a couple weeks ago, and it's up online. And we're going to Nebraska in a couple weeks to hunt out there, and then we'll just be praying for rain. And we've already talked about, you know, back to our roots. Hunt in Arkansas.
Yeah,
I feel like if this river stays low, you know, we're going hunting somewhere.
Yeah.
So we might get a little more bounced around this year.
Well, we're going to be doing that too. We got a few places off the grid. We'll be going, so maybe I'll shoot you a pin. You can come join us or something like that. But
I won't turn down a good pin.
Neither will we. I got a lot of Onyx things saved. Yeah,
some of them aren't good. Some of them are, but. Again, Brooks, we appreciate it. Y'all go check out Light Boots. Check Brooks Tinsley out on Instagram, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Oh, we didn't.